the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to Runner's Diary episode 84. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, our featured fixtures.
And this week, we catch up with Irish Olympian Louise Shannon and also chat with Brian Conroy about the Peugeot race series. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillow Performance.
Pillow Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillow will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillow Performance product. Okay, welcome back everybody to another week. Again, thanks to everybody for the great feedback on last week's podcast. It was great to catch up with Alex and great to hear people's feedback as always, and we'd encourage you to keep doing that as well. How was your week, Damien?
Week was a great week of no running.
You're coaching too much now, you see. That's it.
I'm that and so much more, but I've set myself now. I was having a conversation with Ty from Carrignavar yesterday. And he was letting me know about our 5K that's coming up there in the next month or so. And I've now set myself, right, that is my comeback race. I'm going to set that as a target for me to train for it. So starting tomorrow, I've roughly about 6-7 weeks to it, I think. So that's my target. I think, and I hope he doesn't mind me, I think it's May the 1st.
Be in good shape then, so talk to another race director about another race in May maybe, so we might get you to another 5k soon after.
Why is there another one somewhere else? There is,
yeah, there's a few actually.
Is there? Okay. So it's been, you know what, a couple of weeks has just been meant, but I'm okay with that at the moment. I don't mind. And Brian, more importantly, how was your week?
Yeah, I had an interesting week. I had a big week of mileage. I kind of just tipped under 60 miles this week. If I had done the race today in Bantair fully, I would have got over 60 miles. That doesn't matter, miles or miles. More importantly, yeah, I ran more or less every day. I had a very good session on Wednesday, an interval session. It ended up being about a 30 miler all in, down in the dark night in Marina on my own, but thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, and you just get right into the groove of a session and it clicked by nicely. And I left there very confident. And then Saturday was a long run. It was meant to be 23 miler. I still took some positives out of the run, but I didn't nail what the session was. It was meant to be a 3 mile warm up, 4x4 miles at marathon pace, with 800 float in between. But it wasn't the best of mornings, and I don't like making excuses, and I kind of am making excuses. But for 6 miles in a row, I was heading into a fairly stiff headwind, and I don't know, was it on the back of a heavy week or what, or maybe doing. I ran Saturday instead of Sunday because of the race today, and that one day less of recovery, maybe. I don't know. Something wasn't right, but I do think fighting into a wind for 6 miles, eventually just the legs were like just saying, like, stop. And that's, I didn't stop, but I totally pulled the session, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I still got a lot out of it. I still ended up with 18 miles, and just there was still some benefits of it for sure. So.
And that I do agree with. I think, like, again, this is important for anyone, even, you know, we come to this in a second, the marathon training plan. Even if you're not feeling it, try to get some mileage in, you know, because that does stand to you more than you just going, I'm not great, I'm not going up the door. So, like, or even cutting it at 12, you know, that kind of way, or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, try to get as much out of it as you can.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And like, I was kind of saying to myself, okay, I've got 10 of the 16 miles that I meant to do at marathon pace done. Like, I can walk away now and be ready for a session again Monday or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Or if I keep going, I'd probably have a horrible week next week as well, you know. So,
So did you do the race today?
No, didn't do it well. Okay. I did footage at the race today for the Rebel Diamond League. I started, ran the first couple of 100 meters with the GoPro, and then stopped and just ran up and down the course picking people up. So, and
can I ask you a question?
You can.
Okay. So people might have seen some pictures at the moment going around on, you know, social media, which, you know, in different sites and stuff like that, of Brian videoing the winners as they come through. So Paul Maloney, I see you on with her. Is there a reason why you're in full kit wanker, a proper John Terry in the full kit, running racing gear, the whole lot, when you didn't even do the race?
I did do the race. I just told you, I took my place at the start line. I filmed everybody taking off. I ran after them. Actually, there was people laughing at me because I ended up at one stage, and you see, if you go to the Rebel Diamond page, You'll see me running. Well, the person with the camera is me running after Paul Maloney and Tighe and Anthony Mannix and Jeremiah, and they're clipping along nicely, and I'm holding the camera, running after them at fairly handy pace. And I turned after leaving them, and I came back, and there was two or three women in stitches, you know.
It's like that
It's like,
the ad, you know, we see when the sprinter or the lads on the track are flaking along, the camera fella running around them just
yeah,
as
that's
fast
what it was like.
alongside of
That's what it was
them.
exactly like now. So I covered about 2 or 3 miles doing that, actually. So yeah, I didn't. I was in gear because I didn't know what was going to happen on the day. I did run parts of the race, but yeah, you can call me what you want. Yeah.
I will call you, and I called you straight out on it. You know what I mean? I just
Yeah,
thought it was a bit excessive. You're like John Terry collecting the trophy, you know, getting into the full gear. There was no need for it.
well, as I
Just.
said, I went to run the race and I did kind of start the race. Yeah.
I joke, right? Of course,
I
just
can't
get
let
people
you.
think I'm picking on you, do you know?
I'm sure you're picking on me every week. Come
Okay,
on.
we move on. Video, YouTube video, week 5 has been released as of Sunday. So again, we go through the new week 5 for it, and we go through the first session of for some people, and then we obviously answer the questions that people had and stuff like that. So again, you know, it's something that myself and Brian we're enjoying, we're passionate about, to be fair. I'm really enjoying the question and answer, so I really encourage people to get questions into us for it, because it's something that we have an interest in this, so it's good to talk about it. And if you're thinking of that question, I guarantee you somebody else is probably thinking this as well. So don't be afraid to ask the question, no matter how strange it may seem. Please ask the questions.
Yeah. And again, it's another way of winning prizes. And again, thanks to Ken again for the prize from last week. And we have another one this week. But again, as we keep saying, you must comment on the YouTube video itself.
Yes, exactly. So it's for anyone who knows, who wants to know, it is Pillar Performance Triple Magnesium is what is up for grabs this week, only on the YouTube channel though. So head over there and check that out and subscribe. Please subscribe. It means an awful lot to us when people do that as well.
Yeah. We're having a bit of fun with some polls as well at the moment. So last week's
Yes.
poll was.
Last week's poll was, what is your favorite distance? And we picked 5K, 10K, 10 mile, half marathon, marathon, and ultra. Now, I was surprised at this, Brian, right? Not the results so much, but I'm surprised at how little people picked ultra, given that the person on the podcast we had on
Last week was an
last
ultra
week
runner,
was an ultra runner. So that did surprise me a little bit. So results, the winner was 10 miles. So 10 miles got 30.8% of the vote. In second place was the half marathon with 24.6. In third place was a marathon with 28%. In fourth place was 5K with 12.3%. Second last place was 10K in 7.7%. And in last place was the ultra with 4.6%. Now, I did get given out to by a few people, but not including
Less than
1500
5K.
meters and you know everything like that. So I do apologize. Won't be naming names, any names at all, Owen. So definitely won't be mentioning names like Owen's at all given out to me, but I do
In particular,
apologize.
when we had an 800-meter runner on this week as well, but
Correct,
in there,
exactly. So I do apologize for that. But we have another one this week, all right? So here's a question, Brian. I want you to answer this now. So this week's poll, if you could pick one of the following to run with forever, but the other disappears totally, which one would you pick? Your options are: one, wear a GPS watch, or two, super shoes. Now, before people say, all right, and so if you pick super shoes thinking that, oh, I'd be okay in a mile, I can look at it, you know, the clock on a wall or somewhere, time disappears, it's gone. All right, so it's just gone. And if you
Is
don't
it
have
the same
super
for
shoes,
everybody as well? So if I say I could do without super shoes, does everybody else lose super shoes as
yeah,
well?
they just don't. This is
They
just
just don't
you.
exist
Yeah,
anymore.
it's just on
Okay,
you.
that makes it easier for me. So
Okay. So, what are you picking?
I think I would get rid of super shoes and keep the watch.
I would be the same.
Yeah, I think we forget that super shoes just didn't exist a couple of years ago, you know. And I also think, and I remember saying this on the podcast last year when I went down to do one of my long sessions, and I for actually forgot my, I actually ended up just having a normal pair of runners that my everyday runners, which I know wouldn't normally be something that you'd advise, but I got through the session fine. So, that we've
No,
overhyped the shoes a small bit too much.
well, I wouldn't say that, no, but
Yeah.
no, when it was Andy who gave us the question, in fairness, and when he asked me the question, I literally backed and forth for ages on it, you know, because I was like, no, watch me, don't. So it does make you think that little bit. So that's the poll this week.
And
So
you, what are you thinking?
I would keep watch.
You keep watch as well.
I
Okay.
would, yeah. I
Interesting.
think the foams now are so soft. Do you know what I mean? So they do still get a little benefit from them. So you just can't have any carbon or nylon in place in your shoes. So I'll go with that. Right, so that's going to be on the poll on Spotify. And again, head over there. Even if you're not listening on Spotify, head over and just answer the poll. It would just for a bit of fun. Right, Brian. A fundraiser we announced it last week, which is for Breakthrough Cancer and Crumlin Hospital, two very, very, very important charities who deserve so much and more. And obviously, we're teaming up with them, and we're going to team up with Bween School, who's going to design a t-shirt for us, which we will sell at some stage. We're figuring all this out, so bear with us at the moment. And once we have all the answers, everybody will know. But the whole idea is that we will sell t-shirts, but every single bit of the profits going straight to these charities, and we'll try to raise as much as we possibly can. And we will, don't worry, we will have a prize. We always do, you know, we're very generous that way. And how we're going to work it is that we're going to pick for us, myself, Brian, and the Runner's Diary team, and our friends, and everything like that. The big end goal is the Cork Women's Mini Marathon, where some of the lads got a shock last week when they realized they had to dress up. But we're going to dress up. We're going to have a great day of it. We're going to get as many people in the Runner's Diary t-shirts as we can on the day. But if you can't be in Cork, and you can be in Dublin, or you can be in Galway, or you can be in Mayo, or you could be in Kerry, or you could be anywhere, you could be in Canada, New Zealand, you can buy the t-shirt, you can wear it at a race, or at a run, at a park, you know, a park run, anything. Send us the pictures and we'll enter you into a draw, and that's how we'll do it for the competition as well. So it's just, again, we want people out running, we want to support two incredible charities. We will be working with the charities closely with getting videos out and stuff like that over as well over in a few months, which I think is important to get stories across and how this will hopefully help them in the long term.
Absolutely, yeah, you nailed it there, in fairness, yeah. And just again, thanks to the people who even already in the past week have gone on to us and saying they're certainly going to roll behind it, and even to the charities themselves who contacted as well. And you know, just one or two, as Damon mentioned, our stories that of people, you know, who have been involved in the running community and have been impacted by these charities, or sorry, these illnesses, and you know, they're delighted to hear that we're doing something. But yeah, more on that over the next week or two. We really will be moving it on soon. So you'll hear more in the coming weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Competition.
Yeah. So again, very popular competition. And thanks again to everybody at Killarney Valley ASC for giving us the opportunity to raffle off two entries there to their Good Friday Streets of Killarney race. It should be an outstanding race. We spoke about it over the last couple of weeks there. So I
That's,
really think it's going to be a great
I'm
one.
disgusted. I would love to go down to that point. Honestly, and
I've heard a lot of
unfortunately,
people. Yeah.
I am working, so I can't make it.
Yeah.
I would love to go down to. I actually think,
I think it would be a good race anyway, and it's just the day it, you know,
yeah, and the day
falls
as well
well, you know.
falls onto it. I think you can make a lovely weekend of it. I think it could be great. It will be great crack down there, which it always is anyway. But I just think,
It was funny though, but like some of the people who entered the competition, you could actually, they were like no longer tagging their name. They were putting that story in there. We go off to Clare and we'll have a few pints, we'll stay over. You know, there was a story he's coming back on some of the entrants. But the lucky winners is Tanya Maria and Dan Dalton. I hope I got the names right there. So Tanya Maria and Dan Dalton were the two winners there. And again, we'll be in contact with you guys just to let you know there. But congratulations. And again, thanks to Killarney Valley SC. Not too late again for anybody else who wants to enter it. And again, go to Eventmaster or to Killarney Valley's pages there. That's a race on Good Friday at 6 p.m. I think is the start time.
Brian, we also have had pop-up races. How was that chat?
Brilliant. Yeah, in fairness to Brian, like again, there's, as you said, there's nine, I think there's nine races this year, some really big races spread across the country. The first one's coming up on March 17th, and that's the Streets of Portlaoise 5K. Very quickly, we'll go through the more detail with the interview with Brian, but the Streets of Portlaoise, Streets of Killarney, or sorry, Streets of Kilkenny, with the Aisling Murphy 4 mile in Tullamore, the Bob Heffernan 5K in Meath, Dunshloplin 10K in Meath, Roscommon 10 miler, Edenderry 10 miler, and finishing off with a Cork City 10 miler. and the Charleville half, which is the national half as well this year. So good spread around. Some of them are midweek, Thursday evening, so it will be possibly challenging, but it's a, have a listen to Brian. He talked about the team event in as well, so it will be fascinating, I think, to get to some of these races, and there's a lot of fast ones.
And he had some news on a competition for us.
Again, thanks to Brian. He's been very generous to offer a prize for this week's podcast, and the prize is for, again, like usual, two entries to a race, and it's any race within that series. So any race within the series, and that's why we're calling it out this week. The first race obviously comes up on Patrick's Day as well. That's March 17th. It's the Streets of Portlaoise, so that might be our first one. But if not, you could pick one of the later ones, the Charleville Half Marathon, the Edenderry 10 mile, or whatever you want. So again,
So a couple of
same.
good races there that you could pick off. Do you
Unbelievable.
know what I mean? So like,
Unbelievable.
and again, a good spread out. So please make sure you kind of spread this competition because this is a competition that will literally suit nearly anybody, in the whole of
Any part of
Ireland
the country,
to
yeah,
win it.
exactly.
Because usually, for some competitions will be very, area
Localized kind of type of
localized and
thing,
stuff like that. And this one is can suit pretty much anybody. So I think this should be a really big one. And again, massive thank you to Dan for that as well, because it's a very, very big competition. But we're going to come to his interview just before
Yeah, we
we
got the
come to
Brian
Christmas.
Conroy's interview,
Oh,
and
Brian, sorry.
quite accomplished runner himself, and obviously he's the lead man there with pop-up races as well. So there's a bit in it, mainly about the series, but we'll come to that in a minute there as well.
So this week was actually a quiet week on the running front, but we did have there was two big cross country races. We won't go to the results because we'd be here all day. So there was the 123.ie All Ireland Schools Cross Country, which was held in Dublin, and there was also the Varsity Cross Countries, which was held up in Belfast. So massive well done to everybody who took part in them races, which was it's great to see so many young people out running and staying fit and being a lot faster than you, me, and your brain. So, well done to everybody there. So, look, I think that was pretty much most of the news. Again, if anyone has any news they want to send us or foresee anything funny or anything like that, again, send it on to us. We'd be more than happy to have a chat about it and have a good old yatter about it. So, that's the
We
news. Before we
move
go,
on, will we?
before we move on to our results section, we will move to our interview with Ryan. With Brian.
Okay, so we're delighted to welcome Brian Conroy to this week's podcast. Brian is the owner of Pop-Up Races, a very accomplished runner himself as well. So great to have you on, Brian. Hope all is well.
Thanks very much, Brian. Yeah, good to be on, and looking forward to chatting to you about all things Peugeot Racers over the next few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a series, obviously, that's gathered great momentum over the last couple of years there. I've ran in a few of them myself, actually, and it's not such a great backing, I suppose, and sponsorship as well, and prize money as well. So maybe just tell us about the background of it then first, and we can go through some of the races then as well as we go.
Absolutely. Well, I said you're right there in terms of sponsorship and the backing. Peugeot have been excellent, and they've finally really put their hands in their pockets. Like this year, there's a prize fund of €33,000, which every cent of which goes into either club athletes or clubs. Like it goes back into the grassroots through course record bonuses, through team prizes. And as I said, it's kind of grown year on year, and this year will probably be our biggest one yet. We've nine races between kicking off on Paddy's Day and finishing down in Close Yourself down in Charleville in Cork in September. So something for everyone, not just for elites. Obviously, we're trying to get cash into the faster runners' hands, but this is a series that's open to everyone, and I really encourage anyone to maybe have a look at it.
Yeah, and like I know myself over the last couple of years, it's obviously attracted great runners. Clubs get behind it, as you said, for the team events as well, which is a great interest to many clubs. And it's interesting to see a couple of clubs going at it, and especially when it comes down to the last one or two races there. But it's phenomenal to see even no matter what part of the country, people are travelling to support this as well, which is great as well.
It really is, yeah. So I think the big introduction, what we've seen is the team element of it. So like Leavale was the first team to win it back, I think 2 or 3 years ago when we introduced the team. Dundrum South Dublin have been fairly dominant since, and like that, they're getting their best runners out. The team element is that it's a mixed team. It's a little bit different. So you look for three males, three females from each club to score, and I can speak from experience at my own club, Clane AC. We kind of actively targeted going after the team prize last year. We got second in the end, but even outside of the prize money and outside of that, actually the team spirit and camaraderie built amongst the kind of senior athletes in the club was brilliant. And as I said to the gang this year, there's certainly a bit more interest in terms of the some clubs claim may not be in the prizes, but we're still going to go after it because we just enjoyed it so much, traveling around the WhatsApp groups, to getting to know each other, people, the people that you might not run with, like you're kind of all getting together, and it's such an individual sport. So from a team point of view, it's yeah, something that we've really tried to embrace and grow.
It's something actually we spoke about several times on the podcast about that team element because, you know, as you said, it certainly drives the club onwards as well. And it's good for the spirit of the club, I think, as well. And, you know, as you said, you may be just certain individuals that are stronger and chasing the prizes, but the club kind of moves together and supporting each other as well. So, yeah, great element to it, really, in fairness. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Will we go through a few of some of the races? So it's starting, as you said, on March the 17th, and that's the Streets of Portlaoise 5K. And I'm looking there now. PBs on that race is Sean Tobin, 14:14, Aoife Cook, 15:56. So Streets of Portlaoise starting it off.
Yeah, so that's St Patrick's Day in Portlaoise, and it's a race that I really highly recommend for kind of a couple of reasons. But the main one being that, yes, it's only a 5K, but it goes down the main street of the town twice, and the Patrick's Day parade takes, so the race starts at 11. We're always under savage time pressure from a timing company point of view because we have to be off the street by 11:45. So the race is finished and we're piling everything over the barriers to get out of the way because the parade starts at 12. So the streets are lined with people for an hour in advance. So you're getting all that atmosphere from people who might not have any interest in the run, but they're lining the streets ahead of the parade, and it just adds a really fantastic atmosphere.
Right.
Portlaoise, I see, like all the clubs there, they're great people and they really push it. So, and as you said yourself, you've Sean Tobin's course record of 14:14 and Aoife Cook's sub 16. So two really, like it kind of shows that it's a good fast course and it's good times for you on there. So one we'd highly recommend.
Yeah, very good. Staying in March, but moving on again. So from the streets of Portlaoise to the streets of Kilkenny again, another well-known race and another fast one, I believe.
Yeah, very fast. And again, Kilkenny City Harriers is a great club and do great work there. And it's not unlike Portlaoise, actually. It's a two-lap course directly around the city. Like Kilkenny, I think I'm not shy in saying it's one of my favourite places to time races because the town really gets behind it. They close the city centre down like routinely. Every other week, there's something on going on down there. So everything's closed down, perfectly safe, and you've got the full road closures for the hour while the race goes on. And again, like speaking of Sean Tobin in Portlaoise, like Andrew Coscar has a course record there again, 14:14, and Aidan McDonald last year around 15:48. So again, very quick course, and
Great names
yeah,
as well, in fairness. Yeah, yeah,
great
yeah.
names. Yeah, I think it's a Thursday night. It always takes place on Holy Thursday night. So it's always a really good buzz around the place as well. So
Okay.
kind of dusk, and it's just the atmosphere is good there.
Very good. With that, we'll move on again. So next county up is Offaly, and that's the 19th of May. So that's the Aisling Murphy 4 miler in Tullamore, obviously named after their Aisling Murphy. You know, great tribute to that lady as well. But again, another top race in Tullamore.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's kind of two there back to back, and it's just the way that the schedule has fallen. So the Aisling Murphy 4 miler is actually it's actually organised by, it's not a club, it's Offaly Athletics themselves. So Offaly Athletics put the race on around the town in Tullamore. All the clubs in Offaly then will help out with the marshalling and the stewarding and all that stuff. And like I said, it's such a tribute to Aisling Murphy and the family to keep her name alive. And she's a runner herself, you know, so it's a great one to be involved. And from there you go on to Enfield to follow on Tuesday night for the always fast and furious Bob Heffernan 5K up here. It's kind of up our direction to be 3 or 4 5Ks in a year. You'd always look at that if you're going to chase a PB, and this would be one of them. I said Paul O'Donnell ran 14 flat there jogging a couple of years ago, and I said I did it down on 15:36 last year.
Yeah,
So
super
it's a
times,
very,
yeah.
very, very, very quick course.
Very good. There's obviously so many races to get to, so we'll keep going. But they've been short up to now. So the first slightly longer one comes in, then the Dunshloch 10K in Meath on the 22nd of June.
Correct, yeah. So always one of my favorite races of the year, and in many people's eyes, the kind of unofficial national championships, because it always drives or brings such a field in, you know. You see by the course records there, like Ephraim Giddy ran 28:15 and Fionnuala Cormac 32:08, both in 2022, phenomenal times. And as I said, like you'll always get a good clatter of people kind of sub 30, sub 31. Even in Dunshaughlin. So if you want to run fast, again, it's the place to go. Again, like that full road closure, you have 1,500 people. It's a Saturday evening. It's just height of the summer. It's just a perfect night for a race, you know.
Yeah, just the names are phenomenal. And I know from the next couple of races we're going on to, the names don't get any, they keep growing and growing. So Roscommon next up, Roscommon 10-miler again. I think this is one of a couple of 10-milers on the agenda, but Roscommon 10-miler on June the 29th.
Exactly, yeah. So the way we've done the individuals, just to go back to the series, we've kind of split it in two from an individual point of view. So there's a male and female individual series winner, but we kind of have two mini series. So the first five races will count as mini series one. Your best first four scores will count out of that because there's 5 and 10 Ks there. But then all of a sudden there's a jump to 10 milers and half marathon. So we kind of split it in two. So from even there, from Roscommon onwards, there's four races. Three of those will be to score in the in the mini series too, kind of, and that starts in Roscommon at the end of June. They had to move from their usual July weekend to the end of June. And again, I ran that race last year, really, really good race. And see there, Mick Clossy's ran 48.47, and Anne-Marie ran 55.22 there. So no slouches either, you know, and a
No.
good fast course.
Yeah, definitely not. Edenderry, we're traveling everywhere. Edenderry 10-miler coming up on the 14th of July.
Traveling ever, yeah, absolutely. Edenderry, again, another Offaly race. We have a very good relationship with Offaly Athletics, so yeah. So between that and the Ashley Murphy, a couple of good races in there. Paul O'Donnell and Michelle Finn have the course records there, and then you'll be glad to hear the series kind of bookend with two races down in Cork. So the Cork City, provisionally 10 mile, but that may change. But that the Cork City, the St Finbarr's race is on, and then the Charleville Half Marathon to finish the race on the September 15th.
Very good, yeah. And the Charleville half is the national half this year, I believe.
It is a national half, yeah. So that just adds to it as well. So there's going to be all sorts. That should make the field. If the field is going to be, it's always strong anyway. In fairness, but
Yeah.
it'll only add to it. And always a great race set in Charleville.
It
Nice
is,
fast course.
yeah. A lot of people use it obviously for their prep for Dublin as well, so it's always attracts big numbers too at that time of the year.
I always think it'd be a great thing if you could run from the start to end to Clonmel. It could be the best thing down to the best 10K in the
Yeah,
country.
that
But
little pullback is a slight tester, right, at the
It
very
is,
end, but overall it's
separates
good.
the men from the boys. Now, it's a great course and it's a great race, always really well organised. And they do
Yeah.
their best to get a high quality field
They
there.
do.
So,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
we're looking forward to it.
Something for everybody there. So again, so starting off on March 17th, check out popupraces.ie and the Peugeot pop-up race series. Again, look, fantastic. It's growing and growing. I know people who have actively taken part in the series over the last couple of years, and the feedback is great, and the team element is always something they comment on. And no, again, sometimes that third person is the most important person that they can, if they're traveling in particular, that they can get out, So
Absolutely, yeah.
it's great for the clubs, and look great for all those towns you mentioned as well. In fairness, from what you said there, a lot of them seem to really get behind it, which makes it even more special. So well done. And again, we'll make sure to share that more as we go forward as well.
I'll do, yeah, it'd be great.
Just as we have your brain, just a small quick chat, maybe we won't keep it too long, just on the pop-up race themselves and how things are going, and maybe a small bit on your own running as well. As you said, you're a well-known runner yourself, so we might as well take the opportunity to see how things are going for you. Hard to juggle both, it's a
Yeah, it's good. I said we've a really, really good team there now. In that, a couple of years ago, it was very hard to juggle both, but for kind of two or three, we've a team of 10, well, 11 or 12 really, but two or three full time, and between the three of us, we divvy it all up, and got good people there, so that allows me to train, kind of train midweek mornings. All the rest of the weekends, obviously busy, so racing can be hit and miss, but in terms of training, it's ideal. So yeah, business is good. It's kind of heading back towards pre-COVID levels. We have a couple of ropey years there, but we're seeing the entries are kind of back to where they were, heading back to where they were. So it was slow to get there, and I don't know if that was a nervousness or what it was, but certainly now, yeah, race entries are growing again. As we're kind of as busy as we want to be honest. I think there's lots going on and lots for all the timers. Everyone has a fair share of it, so yeah, all good.
Yeah, brilliant. And in fairness, I think, sometimes we don't, we know the volunteers behind the scenes and everything that gets done to put a race on, and the people who turn up and they collect their prizes and they go away and so on. And, the grub afterwards is always nice and a cup of tea, but the timing companies play a massive role in making it such a smooth event. Like I know from my own experience, even when we didn't have a timing company, to moving to a timing company, it was such a weight off my shoulders. So, you're an invaluable resource to any race, I think, in fairness,
Oh, yeah, well, as I said, I always say that we should be like a referee in a hurling or a football match. That you don't want people talking about us, you know. So if people are talking about the timing company, we've had a bad day. But yeah, no, it is. I think possibly a little bit. Well, I certainly don't take it for granted because we know what goes into it. But yeah, there's a lot of good timing companies in Ireland, and we all do our best. So yeah, we'll keep trying.
Brilliant. Brian, thanks a million for joining us. I think that was very, full of information there, and I know there will be people get behind it, and it's good to hear it. So again, popuprraces.ie if people want more information. First race on March 17th, and look, 9 races between then and the Charleville Half in September. Something for everybody, and encourage people and clubs to get behind it in particular. Really, clubs benefit a lot, I think, when they get involved in these events.
Definitely, yeah.
And look, we'll try and catch up with you again as the races happen. We might get some feedback and reports from you maybe and see how things are going. And I think it would be, let's keep a close watch on this one as we move forward.
Absolutely. Listen, Brian, thanks very much for your time and for giving us the plug. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely great, yeah. Thanks a million yourself. And sure, look, we'll catch you again soon.
Cheers.
Okay, again, thanks a million to Brian Conroy there of Pop-Up Races. Again, I think a bit for everybody in that one. Great to hear such a quality series. It's been like that for the last couple of years. A few extra races added this year. Great prize money, great team events. And I think, hopefully you get a couple of clubs get behind it. And I know, like in previous years, we have two or three clubs really challenging right up to the end. It makes for a great series as well. So well done to everybody there and to obviously to all the host clubs who've got behind it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll watch those closely. And again, don't forget we have a competition this week for two entries to any one of those races.
So we move on to our results, which is sponsored by Wellbeing Coffee in Glanmire and Neptune. So make sure you pop down to them and have an old coffee or hot chocolate for yourself. And thank you for the support. We'll start with the IMRA, which was the Nagels Marathon, and we have our weekly report from Mags Hassett there now again, and over to you, Mags.
Mags Hassett here with the race reports from the Nagels Full and Half Marathon on Saturday, the 9th March. The weather was dry and cold, but these were tough technical courses with a ton of mud and water. The winners of the Nagels Marathon with elevation of 1,300 metres were female 1, Deirdre O'Gorman, 2, Caroline O'Sullivan, 3, Lisa Quirk-Cashman. Male 1, Nick Hogan, 2, Sam Hand, 3, Peter Power. The winners of the half marathon with elevation of 700 metres were female 1, Sarah Whelan, 2, Anne Moore, 3, Adele Hennessy. Male 1, Barry Hartness, 2, Donatheus Dulcus, 3, Patrick Milan. Huge thanks to Joan Ryan, RD of the Marathon, and Leanne Van Dyke, RD of the Half, and all the volunteers for the significant amount of work that goes into organising these events. Next race in the IMRA Munster calendar is Clara Mountain, Mill Street, on the 16th of March at 2 p.m.
And thanks, Mags, for that. Again, fairness, she does mention at the end of it, the amount of work that goes into organising these races between the marathon and the half marathon in Nagels over the weekend. It's a massive undertaking, especially when you have people, water, mud, hills, the extra, everything that needs to go into that is unbelievable. So
yeah,
well done to the full IMRA team in that.
Yeah, big shout out there to Caroline O'Sullivan and Lisa Quirk, who were second and third in the ladies event there, both Mount Hillary ladies and both out in force this morning stewarding again. So they're good club people, in fairness, so you need people like that around as well.
Yeah, 100%. So well done to everyone involved in the IMRA races, and keep it going. Great races again. I have to try to get to one. I'm going to get to one this year, Brian. One. I will say that much.
We'll hold you to that.
Okay, one.
A couple of interesting things happening here, and we will maybe have a quick chat about it. There's actually three, I could say big, they were well attended, but three races in Cork today. Not too far away. I know there's rules around distances between races, but you had the Bantier 5 miler, you had the Courses ASC, again, two races that we supported here, and that was a 5 miler as well. And then you also had the Killa GA 4 mile road race. So, we're not talking about one end of the county to the other. They were kind of reasonably close races. So, like, to be fair, and we'll get on to in a minute, all well supported. It's just, it's a bit of a pity that you have kind of clashes like that, I think,
I don't know why you have three races on in one day.
Especially with the evenings coming in now as well.
Two is more than enough to have on the one day. But three races, I just think, I don't get it. I just don't. And I think you are, even though you might not, people not think it, they might say, look, that's down here and over there and over there. You are still taking, and there's names in each race that would have, if that race wasn't on, would have supported. And there's other weekends and stuff where there's one race on, and I just think there just needs to be a bit more thinking behind these. Look,
I'll tell you straight out, and again, I know we're going to go into it in a minute, but I don't our race is coming up now, obviously soon, and there was a club clashed, and with us, and I would think that, But club and county board, I know it's not easy. It's obviously there's no criticism here because it's not easy and we don't know the full ins and outs, but all attempts should be made to try and avoid clashes where possible and work with each other. I would be very annoyed if a club, like we've been on our date for years now since 2015, and if that's been our date for years, I know it's all about getting permits and all that, but I would be really annoyed if someone took or tried to step in our space. It happened a couple of years ago. I won't mention the hotel, but there's a hotel actually did a gimmicky race in the city centre. And like that, you know, you would think club runners would support clubs. I think they should. And I had words with that hotel, but still it went ahead. And like they took runners from us as well in big numbers that time. So, yeah. But look, we'll move forward. So obviously the band
I
tier
will,
final.
and I will just say,
Sorry.
no matter what, the positive about the three races is the fact that you have people out running, and that is the most important
Oh
thing.
yeah, and combined great attendances in
Yeah,
fairness.
so
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't totally agree with three races, but the positive side to it is the fact that, look, you have, people out running who might not get a chance to run a different race. That's the only, just the one positive in it. So,
Yeah.
Bantir, where you were on camera duty today and still in your full running gear,
I knew you were going to get that back in. Yeah.
shout away.
I do have a finishing time actually as well.
I have no idea what to do. Go on. Shout away.
Yeah, look, a great morning about Bantera. Huge numbers. They had 342 finished there, which was well up on previous year. I think it was 170 they had finished last year. So it was a close and double, very close and double the numbers of previous year. So that's a great sign. Obviously, this is part of the Rebel Diamond Series, the Rebel Diamond League. So at race one. And if that's anything to go by, then you would be thinking, you know, this is a what would you call it? Ingredients for a good league, and hopefully something that can only thrive. So, great race unfolded. I'll give the results first, I suppose. First was Paul Maloney from Mallow AC in a time of 25:48. Not too far behind in second was Jeremiah Sheehan from North Cork AC in 25:53, and third place there was Anthony Mannix from the Cork Track Club in a time of 26:02. In the ladies' event, Niamh Moore from Leave LSE was first in a time of 28:07. Second, Carol Finn from Leave LSE in a time of 30:16. And third, Fiona McCarthy, again, a recent addition to Leave LSE in a time of 33 minutes. So 1-2-3 in the ladies for Leave. What I really liked about the race, and as much as you might laugh about me being on camera duty and all that, was, you know, I think any race, and we've mentioned this a couple of times in the past, any race director or any club that's hosting a race would like to see a bit of a kind of a challenge in a race. And the way the course goes, it goes out into the countryside and comes back in again through the village. And coming back into the village at about 3.5 to 4 mile, you had Paul, Jeremiah, Anthony Mannix, and Tadhg O'Sullivan from my own club, all shoulder to shoulder. There's a good, very good video up on the runners, or sorry, the Rebel Diamond League page, showing it. And just behind them, then was Declan Gainey from West Limerick as well. It was, you know, it really got the crowd going when you have a group coming through together. In fairness, like in the last mile, Paul pushed on, and Jeremiah Sheehan, I think, pushed on as well. But Paul held him off there at the end. So great race. And again, well into the ladies there too. Well into host club, Mount Hilary SC. Huge success. Huge success. And good spread afterwards again. And plenty of prizes.
Yeah,
So
well done. Well
good
done.
success.
Yeah, and look, that's what you want. Exactly. So, next race, which was Courcy's AC 5 mile road race, which was obviously, again, one of our featured fixtures and a very, very nice scenic route as well, out by the sea. So, the winner was Adam O'Leary from St. Finbarr's at a time of 26:58. So, it's great to see Adam winning that. Adam is in great, is very good form and trading very well at the moment. So well done to him. Sean Devine took second place in 27:06. And Donica Kiely from Tracton AC in 27:56 was in third place overall. In the ladies, Hannah Steeds from Leeville in a time of 28:40 took the win. Followed by Catherine Murphy from Eagle AC in a time of 30:51. And then Sinead O'Regan from Courcy AC in a time of 34:49 took the win, or took, sorry,
Third
rounded out
place
the
there,
podium, sorry,
yeah.
and to take third place in there. So well done to everyone who took part, and well done to Courcy's AC as well for another very, very, very good race.
Yeah, second year of their race, 251 finishers is very healthy, and again looked like another close race there between first and second, just 8 seconds between first and second there as well. So another good one. Third race in Cork today was the Killa GAA 4 mile road race. There was 175 finishers there. First home is Gavin Sweeney from Toker AC in a time of 20:41. Second, Aidan Noon from Leave LSC in a time of 20:54. And third, Donald Giltinen from East Cork AC in a time of 21:37. In the ladies' event, again, a lady we've mentioned many, many times, Keely Tateswell from Clonmel AC, first lady home in 23:16. Second lady was Nadine Ford from Leave LSC in a time of 24:06. And third was Tamsin Muldowney in a time of 26:16. So again, well done to everybody who took part there.
Yeah, so well done. And we would move over to Lindy's reports.
Here we go, folks. Although we're now well into the month of March, cross-country dominated the weekend's activities with the All-Ireland Schools in Dublin and the Irish University Championships in Belfast on Saturday. With Abbottstown and Santry unavailable, South Dublin County Council stepped in to make time and park available for the schools All-Ireland and it proved a big hit with supporters who were able to dart easily from one point of the course to another to cheer on their athletes. In the boys' senior race, Cormac Dixon of HFCS Rathcool proved the class of the field. Dixon, who is a member of Talla AC, was part of a league group that included Billy Coogan from Kilkenny CBS, Sean Lawton of Colossus de Pobble Bantry and Noah Harris of Educate Together Wicklow. Only with the finish line in sight did Dixon sprint into the lead, finishing in a solid time of 19 minutes exactly after 6 muddy and hilly kilometres of running. Harris was second, Lawton third and Coogan fourth. Packing superbly to take the team prize was Dublin School St Aidan CBS. Only a second win for the school, I think. Maybe a third. A commanding winner of the girls' senior 3.5km was Irish junior international Anna Gardner from Assumption Grammar School and East Down AC. Gardner led for much of the race, taking a solid win over Lucy Foster from Down High School and Maeve Eakin of Bally McKenny Drogheda and Dunlear AC. Intermediate team winners were Emily Bolton of Mount Sackville Chapel Izzet and Donore Harriers and Oran McBrearty of St Columban's Stranorler. It was a good day for Ulster schools. In Belfast, Roisha Roberts of DCU won a competitive women's race at the Irish Universities Championships. Roberts, who started her athletics career with North Belfast Harriers, ended up in an all-Ulster battle with Hannah Gilliland representing Queens. Third was Celine Gavin, who was leading Trinity College to team victory over UCD and many times champions DCU. In the men's race, Niall Murphy was leading University of Limerick to a third consecutive team victory over DCU. DCU's Sean McGinley was second in the race and Pierre Merchant of Trinity College third. Overall, DCU proved best of the teams for the 20th time since its first win in 2003. Still on cross country, Claire Sullivan and George Snee were the winners at the AIB and NUI Business Houses Cross Country held in the grounds of NUI Maynooth on Saturday, with venues for races of any kind now so difficult to find in Dublin. The Business Houses' next Leinster fixture is a new look cross country race at Meath Eco Park, Kilbeggan Lakes, a venue discovered by longtime Business Houses supporter Val Ledwith. Val asked permission from a local farmer to run a race, and the farmer said, "Yes, we need more like that farmer." Road race of the weekend was the Bormeen Half Marathon in County Meath on Sunday, where former Irish Marathon champion Martin Hoare of Selbridge led home 1,450 finishers. Despite the wet and miserable conditions, Hoare pushed the pace from the start and he finished in 66 minutes, 50 seconds, holding off the challenge of Dunboyne's Peter Samba, who finished second in 66:59. First woman in 75:32 was DMP's Ciara Wilson. First W65 was the great Christine Kennedy from Galway in 91:47. So fabulous to see her still running so well. Rohini Shamrock beat 39 other teams to win the Open Men's Team category for teams of four, also winning the Rennox Cup for teams of six, with Crusaders second and Dunoir third in a Dublin clean sweep. There was another Dublin clean sweep in the women's team categories, where Crusaders were the winners ahead of Rohini Shamrock and Brothers Pierce. Finally, a brief mention for hammer thrower Nicola Tuttle, a UCD scholarship originally from Bandon, I believe, who for a second year finished second in the women's under 23 hammer at the European Throwing Cup in Portugal on Sunday. Nicola's throw of 67.39 metres in the opening round wasn't far off her personal best. We predict an all-out attack on Eileen O'Keefe's Irish record of 73.21 in the next few years. That's all for this week, folks.
Okay, again, thanks a million, Lindy, there for your feedback. Great information, as every. Just one other one to call out there. Again, a big jump up the country, moving to Derry. That was the Bentley Group Wall City 10 miler. 1,587 finishers. That one's obviously a big one there. Very quickly, Timmy Johnson from Anna Davis Riders was first, followed by Scott Ranking from Foyle Valley AC, third, Shane O'Donnell from Ross's AC in the ladies' event. Helen McGreedy from Ross's AC first, Gemma McGinty from the City of Derry Spartans AC second, and Hayley McAteer third there. So well done to everybody in Derry. Big numbers there.
That's a massive numbers, isn't it? I love seeing. I love to be in races when the numbers are up that big. You know, it's just it's actually just so
good to see it. Yeah,
it's lovely. So we will move on to our featured fixtures. Brian, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, first one again, and again, all these ones are people who've contacted us and helped us with competition. So again, returning the favour by mentioning them each week in our featured fixtures. So first up there is the Talla AC annual 5K road race. Again, this takes place, as we've been saying for the last few weeks, on St. Patrick's Day. It starts at 10 a.m. So again, kick off your St. Patrick's Day in Dublin with a 5K race at the Talla AC. And again, you can get entries there on Eventmaster. So our follow up on Talla AC's Facebook page.
And then you have the Peugeot race series, as we mentioned earlier. So you have your pick of your races there, the Streets of Portlaoise, which is 5K on March 17th, Streets of Kilkenny and 5K on the 28th of March, Ashley Murphy 4 mile in Tullamore on the 19th of May, Bob Heffernan 5K in Enfield in the 21st of May, and Dunstockton 10K in Meath on the 22nd of June, Roscommon 10 miler on June the 29th, Edenderry 10 miler on the 14th of July, Cork City 10 miler on the 18th of August, and Charleville International Half Marathon on September the 15th. Again, that's our competition this week. If you win, you get to choose any one of those races for you and your running buddy. So make sure you enter this week.
Yeah, and obviously we call that one out now because the Streets of Portlaoise 5K is coming up on St. Patrick's Day. Brian obviously hinted to it there in the interview earlier on, where quite a great atmosphere to the finish there, because you're actually finishing on the Patrick's Day parade route and the crowd already gathered for the route. So quite an atmospheric finish, I'd say there. Be interesting to see that one. Okay, and we're moving on again. Just 2 weeks away now, another very big race, the Mallow 10 mile road race, takes place on Sunday the 24th of March and kicks off in the very scenic grounds of the Mallow Castle there, where the park run takes place every week. Again, hosted by the Mallow AC Club, who put on a great event every year. Make sure to check that one out. And again, you can enter through eventmaster.ie or check out Mallow AC's pages for more details.
Yeah, and then our last week's competition, which was the Clarny Valley 5 mile road race on March the 29th at 6 p.m. So run the streets of Killarney, start and finish in the town, and walk straight quickly in for a cup of hot water. So plenty of cash prizes, t-shirts, for on your signing up. So definitely a no-brainer to get your head to get your butts down there and to run that race in Killarney.
I think they'll do well. Another one, we're heading to Limerick this time. So the Michael Reimer Limerick 10 mile road race, again another great couple of weeks and months for 10 milers back to back, and this is another one. So it's the Michael Reimer Limerick 10 mile road race that takes place on Sunday the 14th of April. Entry fee is €25, and again, some of that I think takes place on the Limerick race course. I think it starts off there maybe. So again, check out the Michael Reimer Limerick 10 mile road race social media pages there, and you'll get more details. It's hosted by Dunedin AC as well, and again, once more, it's the April 14th. So again, I'd say that would be another very popular one as well. Talking about popular races,
which is just going to get more popular, which I will have a brief discussion with in a second, which is Ballintotas 4 miler, which takes place on Thursday the 18th of April at 8 p.m. One of the best races
in the country.
Honestly, incredible. Well over 1,000 people enter this race in what is a tiny village. on your way to, Killaloe and everywhere like that. You pass it, you don't even see it. It's down the road. It's mainly known for the big lake that you run past.
Yeah.
But also then to add to it, we got this week announced as the race to hold the Cork
County championships,
oh,
isn't it?
thank you, Jesus,
Yeah.
County Championships, which has come to with a mixed reaction.
I saw that. Yeah.
I personally think anyone who is going to probably do a county roads will probably be at that race anyway, because it's just that type of race where you're drawing, fast runners as well as, walkers and everything else in it. So for me, I don't see an issue with it. I can understand some issues with the crowds and stuff like that, but I personally don't think you're drawing a massive extra amount of people who wouldn't be there anyway.
Yeah, and look, I don't know an awful lot about the background. I've heard some stories and a few little rumors, I suppose, but in the end of the day, the club and the host club have put their hand up to host this race. Not everybody would, not everybody can. Stewarding and safety, I know, is an issue in the background as well, and definitely stewarding. So again, they've put their hand up, they can host it, they are hosting it, and I think, let's see what happens, because they haven't disappointed in anything they've done in the past. So
No.
I would be looking at it as a positive, to be honest about it.
Yeah, and I would definitely be looking at it as a positive as well. I think it's just going to add to the race. Yes, I know they might not be able to hand out the medal straight away afterwards. They might have to go that, but right, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Give it a
And
year
funny,
and
I'll be honest
see.
with you, look, you're always going to have something, because for me, I think the previous weekend of it being hosted, wasn't it the long weekend, or
It's
I can't.
Patrick's weekend as well, you were
Patrick's
talking about,
weekend,
yeah.
which not everybody can get there either, and you could have equal comments back saying, "Oh, this isn't a great weekend to host it." So, look, let's see what happens. I think
Yeah,
it will
give
be a
it a shot.
success. I
Let's
think it
give
will
it a
be a big
lash,
success. Yeah,
and it might encourage other clubs to put their hands up and say they want to take it.
I think what would be interesting, and I don't know enough about it again, is is there a cap on this race, because it's already huge attendance, and is this going to bump numbers more? And if people want to run the county championships, then you hope that they can get into the county championships. So that would be the one question mark maybe that I have, but maybe that's not an issue.
We could find that out.
We will find it out. yeah
Yes.
yeah okay, from there we move on again to the Bandonasi 5K, and that takes place on Thursday, April the 25th. So again, you've seen a lot of evening races now coming back in again. That starts at 7:30 p.m. It's a chip timed event, obviously, €15 entry fee. And I think, again, a lot of the proceeds there are going towards the fundraiser for the 400-meter track in Bandon. So, again, a very active club at juvenile level. I'm sure they'd be delighted with your support there as well.
And lastly, Brian, I'll get you, because you are one of the top dogs in this series, the Rebel Diamond series.
I think just to annoy you, and I'm going to run all those races in full gear, but not
Not right
complete
ahead.
any of them,
And
and
just
carry a
before anyone gets
camera.
out, I'm
Yeah.
not giving out about Brian wearing
You
full
are, you
gear.
are.
I'm giving out about Brian wearing his race singlet when he wasn't racing. That's my
Well,
issue. So just I'm not, people say, oh, geez,
you are. You're giving out again.
got a
You're
race
always
really
giving out.
short.
I was
No problem.
representing my club,
Then
so I had my club
wear
colours
your
on.
jumper. Wear your jumper. All
Okay.
right?
Good.
Don't be wearing your race
Be too
singlet.
warm.
That's
Too
for
warm.
racing, not for standing. It wasn't too warm because you were in a top underneath your singlet. So don't give
Jesus,
me
you were
that.
really studying me, weren't you?
Okay? Don't give me that.
It's getting more,
Right.
you know.
Carry
Anyway,
on.
Rebel Diamond League, race 1-0 is complete, obviously. And again, we spoke about that earlier. So now the baton is firmly passed to Drumahan, and that's the Drumahan 5K, which takes place on the 20th of April. And I think they, again, will get a huge bounce off today. And even just the four clubs involved had huge numbers today. So I think anybody who was there, commented how well today went. I know Drumahan always do a great event as well. Very different type of race. It's an open back course, some pulls on the way back, but again, a good course overall. And yeah, I think even people today were already commenting, great that we can get something. No, that there's a cup at the end of it, a mug for everybody, a memento of the series. And there was already people commenting today, great to do something and get something back like that. So Ballycotton was even mentioned by a few people, even the cups, the amount of cups that people have. I think John Holland from Mallow AC, I think, is 29.
Okay.
Stephen Murphy from Mallow AC told me he's about 21 or 22. I have just two. I don't know, you have zero,
Four.
Four. Okay.
I just, they're up there.
All right. I was wondering. I thought you were hiding. Yeah.
No, they're up there.
But yeah, look, that's the Rebel Diamond League. So we're moving on to race two of four, Drumahan 5K. That's on the 20th of April. Obviously, after that, the Green Trailblazers is my own club. 5K takes place on the 12th of May. Again, I'd be delighted if people could make their way to that one. And all of these races, obviously. And the final race in the league then is on a Friday evening. It's the Butterbend 4 miler on the 17th of May. And after that, as well as the prize winners for each individual race, we'll know who the winner of the full series or the full league is, and hopefully we'll be making presentations to those people at that night
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. So well done.
That's it. Busy show.
So yeah, we will move on to our interview, which is thanks to Shoe Rescue. So again, myself and Brian really appreciate their support. So we really would encourage people to go out and buy themselves a tub of Shoe Rescue. I figured out another thing to do with the tub after I finished with it, Brian. Money box. All right.
Yes, I taught you about
it. And you know what I'm going to do now? The money, yeah. I've kept it, lid on top of it, all right, the little slit on top of it, right? See, mm-hmm. Going to put in a couple of euros every once in a while. That money is going to go towards
me.
Our charity.
Oh, very nice. That's a nice suggestion. So, okay, you won't give it to me, so you're going to give it to charity.
I will
fair
give
enough.
It to charity. So that's what I've done with my tub of Shoe Rescue, which I finished. Little slit
you could
on top
also
of
use it
it
for collecting screws or your...
Yes. You know, so this is multi-purpose once you're finished with it, lads. This is a no-brainer, so buy it.
Yeah, you could also, I know you're big into sewing, and you could save all your buttons there for your sewing and your sewing kit.
100%.
In it as well. So.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty so look, so Eddie, there you go. Now you can use any of them as well. Put them on your label there somewhere, you know, ideal for as well for yourself. So our interview this week is with Olympian Louise Shannon from Leeville, who is hoping to qualify for her second Olympics this year in the 800 metres. Really, really enjoyable chat. Fairness for her, she came out her time, she's up in Belfast for the cross country. And she gave her plenty of time on Friday night, and really enjoyable chat. So sit back, enjoy, and we will see you in a bit.
Okay, on International Women's Day, we are delighted to be recording on a Friday evening with Louise Shanahan. Louise, a fantastic runner, Irish athlete, 800 metres specialist. Louise, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you on board, yeah. Like everybody, we're going to start with the rapid, not so rapid fire. I don't know what we're calling it now anymore these days. Some people are brilliant. Other people are going to be
great. It's trademark, the not so rapid, rapid fire questions. Come on, Brian, you need to get it right.
Yeah. We'll have to put a copyright in that one.
Yeah.
Right. Damon, you fire off. You start us off. So.
Right. First few are simple anyway. Please. Is it road, trail, treadmill or track to be your favourite?
Track.
Some of these we're going to know anyway. So.
Yeah. Next one. Again, I think we know this one, but we'll ask the question anyway. Your favourite shoe brand?
ASICS.
No, we ASICS. Had the ASICS front runners on two or three weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions, actually, Jonathan, who is one of them, turned around and said, right, we change it. What's your favourite ASICS shoe?
Okay, so I really like the ASICS GT2000, but particularly the ones from like 3 or 4 years ago. And I think of the current shoes, they've all changed a lot now. They're much more super shoe based. I really like the Meta Speed. They're really bouncy. They're really fast. And yeah, they make tempo sessions go a lot quicker. So,
and that's what we all want, to make everything go faster.
I think the next question too, your age profile, I'm expecting a kind of an answer here now as well. Miles or kilometers?
Oh, miles.
Oh, ooh. Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
No, we're happy.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, having lived over in Cambridge for a few years, it's the Irish athlete who comes over and uses miles, and they're all working K's.
Yeah,
so.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's normally a person under a certain age, which you are normally is kilometres, and all us oldies are miles.
I'm old at heart.
Okay. Yeah,
we're glad to have a few young people join us every now and again in our little moment.
Who is the most famous person on your contact list?
Oh.
This is famous to you, by the way. So this doesn't have to be famous to everybody. This is famous in your head.
Well, I'm good friends with Paul O'Donovan. So yeah, he's an Olympic gold medalist. So we'll take him.
Yeah, doesn't come too much higher than that in the sporting world. Your, I think this is an obvious one again, but we'll answer it. We'll ask it anyway. Your favorite distance?
800 meters.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy.
Would 15 be second, or would?
I have a love-hate relationship with 1500. I keep thinking I'm going to move up to 15 and doing a lot of training, thinking I get very fit doing a 15 and it doesn't go very well.
Okay.
So yeah, I think I prefer actually maybe cross country because it's kind of fun and low key. Yeah, 1500 and me, it's not going well, but we're trying.
Never, never stop trying, as it's said.
Exactly.
Okay, your favorite race that you've either run in or that you would love to run in?
Oh, well, my favorite race that I've run in is probably the BMC or the IMC at the Belfast Miners Club race. Yeah, me running it, me and that meet have a very very good history. Yeah,
Okay.
I think 2 years ago when I broke the national record there, that was pretty incredible. My favorite race that I want to run in would
Yeah.
probably be the Olympic final. So we'll just
Very
work
good
on that for
answer.
now.
Great answer. Do you prefer training in hot or cold weather?
Hot, but
Okay.
yeah, I had to think about it. It's not as straightforward as you think, but yeah, hot,
Exactly.
I'd
Hot.
say.
Morning or evening runner?
Evening. Well, I like to run in the morning to get it done. It's just what I classify as the morning and what other people classify as the morning don't necessarily overlap. So yeah, it could be my morning, but that could
Okay,
be
what's
two.
the what's your morning? So
I tend to wake between 8 and 9 at the moment, and then I have breakfast, and then I have to digest breakfast. So yeah, someone recently asked me to go for a morning run, and I said yeah, as long as it's not too early. So they said no problem, 9:30, and I had to set an alarm 2 hours before I've just been waking up to make the run. So yeah, at the moment I've been sleeping in a lot, which is nice.
very good. Three sports people you would like to have a meal or a drink with.
Ooh,
Can be
okay.
anybody.
Could be no, yeah, it
Sports
could
people
be
or
not
anyone
take
at
out
all?
sports, take
Sorry,
out sports.
anybody. So we'd remove
Anybody at
sports
all?
there. Anybody.
Okay, so my number one that like first came to my head was Albert Einstein. He's obviously incredibly intelligent, and I study physics, so it would be really cool to meet him. And I also think he'd be a bit of fun. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure what I'd expect from him. I think number two could maybe be Michael Jackson.
Okay, right.
I think he had an interesting life, and yeah, there's a lot of questions I think you could ask him
This is
that
some
would
going to be some great. I mean, Michael Jackson and Albert
be.
Einstein together, I can
Yeah, I'm not sure.
see the
There.
moves. Yeah,
And then number three should probably be a sports person, shouldn't it? I think David Rudisha would be pretty cool.
I'm
Either David Rudisha or his coach. I think that like partnership is really interesting. So.
not sure why, but I just have an image right now of Albert Einstein doing the moonwalk. So. Yeah.
The AI will do that for you, though, Brian. You can get
There you go.
that sorted. Favorite book or movie?
Ooh, good question. So I really like Marley and Me and the movie.
Can't watch it. Can't watch it. It's just too
Yeah, because it makes me
bawling.
cry. It's like
Jesus,
how many
dear
movies are there that you can watch
Christ.
it so many times and you're still going to be in
Yeah.
tears? So yeah, that one. That's a good movie. Yeah, I recommend that one.
Okay.
Last one. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
So the one I thought of was Paul O'Donovan winning the Olympic gold in Tokyo. Yeah, I think because I see kind of the hard work he puts in, then for me it means more when I see that because lots of people, it turns out, win the Olympics. So yeah, I think the Paul and Fintan winning gold in Tokyo, that was a really cool one for me.
That's, yeah, I like that one
Funny
actually.
story, and this is, I'm embarrassed about saying this, but I'll say it just for the fun of the podcast anyway. Paul O'Donovan is a distant, 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 distant relation of me, but he is related somewhere along the line. It's like 20
Oh
bike
yeah.
lanes removed, but we
Does
are
he actually
related
know?
somehow.
Does he know
He doesn't know that. No, 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 he
that?
doesn't know. He will know if he listens to this.
Have you raced him? Because he often runs for Leavell in
Cross country, yeah.
Tullyhope.
He'd be a bit ahead in the distance as well, I'd say. So no, I
So
certainly don't, no intentions of racing him either. Yeah.
he recently ran a 5K that was faster than my 5K PB, and I think our friendship might need to end now.
Yeah, that's it. Discommunicated. Get him out. Go back to rowing.
Exactly.
Louise,
Good stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to start. I want to start kind of back only a few years, and I just would like to see your perspective on the Olympics in Tokyo. Obviously, a massive moment to get to the Olympics, and it's everyone's dream to get there, but it was the Asterix Olympics where everything was so different for everybody. And I've spoken to Aoife, who I trained an awful lot with, and got her views and then what she thought of it. But how was that whole experience for you? One, the qualifying obviously is a massive, but then to get over there to such a different Olympics.
Yeah, I think for me, at the end of the day, what I had to tell myself is, look, the Olympics is in the Olympics, and you can still get the tattoo if it's in Tokyo or Paris or LA or Rio or whatever it is. But it was a different Olympics, and in a way, I'm very grateful that it was, because had the Olympics taken place in 2020 like it was supposed to, I most definitely would not have qualified. I don't think I was ranked in the top 200 in the world at the point it was originally supposed to happen. And so yeah, so for me, the Olympics being delayed by a year was the biggest blessing. And yeah, there are perks from the global pandemic. But I think yeah, it was a different Olympics. There were some things that were really cool. So I was lucky that my sport was based in Tokyo, so I was in the Olympic Village. We still got the kind of Olympic Village experience. But there was, I don't know, maybe less than 100 spectators in the track at all times. And they were other athletes. But actually, like, how many times can you go to the Olympics and sit in the back straight on the board and watch a long jump world record and then say, oh, you know what? The men's 100-meter final is on now. Should we walk across to the home straight and walk across and have front row seats to the 100-meter Olympic final? Like, for the athletes that were there, we got amazing viewing of the best sporting event in the world. So, that's something that probably no one ever is going to have that experience again, where they can literally walk between the high jump and the long jump and the finishing straight and see absolutely everything. So that was really, really cool. But definitely I came home from Tokyo and I kind of thought, I guess I was like, well, since I was 9 years old, I've said I want to qualify for the Olympics. I've done that. What do I do now? And for me, the big thing was, okay, yes, I got to go to Tokyo, but there was a huge team of people behind me who got me to Tokyo, and the majority of them didn't get to experience the Olympics the
Yeah, of
way I
course.
would have liked it. So I kind of feel that, the 3 years between Tokyo and Paris for me has really been put your head down and qualify for Paris. And this time especially, I'm qualifying for Paris with the goal of, my dad, who stood on the side of a track for 10 years in sleet and rain, the Mardike CIT, and he was there all the time for training to get him to the Olympics, to watch the Olympics. My coach, everyone who's kind of has been such a big part of the journey. It's crazy that they didn't get to see Tokyo. And yeah, for me, the big thing for Paris is actually not for me, it's for everyone else who kind of got cheated out of their Olympics 3 years ago.
And I agree with you on that.
Paris would be easier to
It
be
would.
easier to get to anyway.
Exactly,
It's ever so slightly and cheaper ish,
yeah,
whatever
I
you want.
always say to my dad that, I trained for 15 years and I qualified for the Olympics and you didn't even bother to show up. So hopefully this time he'll make some space in his diary.
Yeah, no, it was the hard thing because I was supposed to go over to Tokyo as well at that time, with Eva and stuff like that, and obviously we weren't allowed to go over, and it did take the gloss off, because you're going over to, a totally different country, totally different food, and sometimes you just need that shoulder just to someone there of going, oh, my dad's over there or my friends are over there and so on and so forth, and it just makes that little bit of experience. But as you said, it's a bit of motivation for 2024 Paris then as well.
Yeah, and I think for me, actually, we had the so last year we had, or well, 18 months ago now, we had the World Championships in Oregon, and that was probably the first time running with big crowds. But then the Europeans in Munich was the first time for me that we had like Irish support at a championship. And like, yeah, the having your parents in the crowd, having friends come over to watch you race, like, yeah, that was an amazing experience at the Europeans. So I can only imagine what it might be like at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I actually was just gonna ask you that. You've kind of answered it the other way around to the question, but what was the experience of running an empty stadium? Was it early? Did it even feel like a kind of a championship event or?
So I think what a lot of people don't realize is the Olympics was actually my first senior championships. So I actually had never experienced anything else. I'd gone to kind of junior championships and things, but often they don't have the biggest crowds. So for me, it was a huge stadium. and it was very empty. But you know, when we trained in the holding camp, we were actually training on in the same place where the I think it was the Irish rugby team were beaten maybe by Japan in the World Cup. So that was also a massive stadium. And we were training there for 2 weeks, and there was absolutely no one in the stands there either. So for me, kind of training in an empty stadium was what I was used to. And it was almost a big shock kind of when it came to Oregon and Munich the following year, and all of a sudden the crowds are full. I'd never experienced that before. But I had imagined for athletes who had, say, experienced London and Rio to then turn up in Tokyo and you could hear a pin drop must have been very strange.
Yeah. You mentioned there your father and standing on the sidelines for so many years, and we know your father has obviously an athletic background too, but take us back maybe to that relationship and getting into the athletics world and his achievements too. We won't forget that.
Yeah, so as my dad points out, he is still over 10 seconds faster than me at 800 meters. So I'd want to put the training in. So my dad was a 148 800 meter runner, and he ran for Ireland. And he was actually coach in University College Cork in UCC when I was born. So I went to my first race when I was 6 days old, I think. It was at the InterVarsity Cross Country Championships, which, funnily, as we're
Around
recording.
this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're on tomorrow, and I'm currently in Belfast, so I've just had dinner with my mum and my dad because they've come up because dad's still involved in coaching university athletes, so they're all racing tomorrow. But yeah, so dad brought me to my first race, when I was 6 days old, so someone can ring child security about
You were lit.
that.
Did you get it for free, I wonder?
I would hope so, but honestly, no guarantees.
But you were literally born into it, so.
Exactly, but it's funny because I kind of grew up, I went to a lot of intervarsity competitions, and I'm regularly reminded that, you know, the UCC women's team would sing the wheels on the bus to me for 6 hours straight as we drove to Galway for some other intervarsity championships. So I was kind of always around it, but I didn't really run myself until I actually came across it in school. So we have, you know, everyone competes in the Cork school sports, the big race, the kind of the primary schools competing in Cork. I couldn't make my school team. So it's the top two girls from each year are on the school team, and I just could not make this team. And I remember it must have been second or third class probably. And I turned to dad and I said, "Look, why can't I make this team? You know, I was really upset that I couldn't make it." And he said, "Well, look, if you really want to make it, why don't you train for it?" And he brought me down to my local athletic club, which was Leeville AC at the time. And yeah, I came down to Leeville, and yeah, I've been running with them ever since. And I did make my school team the following year. So, but I think it was a nice mixture between growing up in the sport, so really having that family connection, but also being allowed to find the sport myself. So kind of I wasn't forced into it. I very much wanted to be there and was there because I love the sport rather than kind of a parent's love being forced on me.
Which I think is massive, because I think that it makes you, again, as you get older, to appreciate the sport, that you started this love relationship with the sport, and it's not that you're like, right, you have to do this now, you have to go and do 800 meters, and you have to go and do 1500 meters. Total love for it, and you just, I think that carries you through for so long.
Do you ever talk to those two girls now and go, hey, look at me now, look what I've achieved? No.
Funnily enough, I think when I qualified for Tokyo, I think there was a picture of a podium maybe, and it was like the top three girls, and I was number three. And I think it was maybe junior or senior infants, but one of the girls tweeted it to say, "Oh, Louise has qualified for the Olympics. Does that make me an Olympian too?" Because she had beaten me when we were 4 or 5 years old. But
So Leeville obviously has been a massive part of your running career, really, since then. You know, even though you've travelled away, you've always been a Leeville athlete. How was that? Like, you know, they've obviously been very good to you as well.
yeah, so I could not say enough kind words about Leeville. I guess I kind of grew up in the club, so you know, I started running with them when I was 9, and yeah, I was based in Cork until I was, what, 18 or 19 years old, and then on top of that, then did 3 or 4 years in UCC, so still based in Cork. And yeah, the last couple of years I've been over in Cambridge in the UK, but you know, the The club's great because I guess it's got a variety. It's got sprinters. It's really good at the jumps, the pole vault particularly at the moment. And it's a great middle distance group, and especially kind of in the endurance, more marathon side. So yeah, I really liked having training partners in Cork, and I made really, really good friends in the club, and that got me through my teenage years. So yeah, I couldn't say enough about the club. I'm a big fan.
And you mentioned there about the move to Cambridge and things like that. Take us through that, after being so long with Leeville and so long based in Cork. Was that a challenge, or what did that bring for you?
So I think for me, the UK felt quite close because, so I did my undergraduate in UCC and it was a 4-year undergraduate, but I actually spent the 3rd year of it in Berkeley in California. So for me, that was very, very far from home. And even though I loved it, I loved the year, I really liked the weather and the training out there was really good. And for me, it kind of made the decision that, if I was going to go on to do a master's or a PhD, that I would stay a lot closer to home. So, the nice thing about the UK is Cambridge is what, a 30-minute train journey from Stansted Airport. I can practically get from Cambridge to Cork faster than you can get from, say, Belfast to Cork. So yeah, for me it was a case that, Cambridge was perfect because it did give me the opportunities to study what I want, to challenge me. But it also, yeah, it meant I could still come home if there was an important birthday on or an event or things like that. And I still was able to come home and race nationals every year, for example.
And we've got a few questions in, and amazingly, majority of them are all the exact same question. And it's how do you balance trying to qualify for Olympics and try to do a PhD in college?
Yeah, so for me, actually, the PhD and running was a much easier combination than the undergraduate and running. I think, when you're doing an undergraduate, there's a lot of deadlines with assignments and exams and things like that. And I found that much, much harder to deal with. But actually, the nice thing about a PhD is that it's up to you to do the work and you can do it when you want. So, I'd quite often say, get up, run in the morning. I definitely got up earlier when I was still in the lab for the PhD. But get up, run, kind of work for most of the day, and then I could kind of leave at 3 or 4, go and train when it was still bright, and then come back and kind of do 3 or 4 hours in the evening, kind of at 8 or 9 o'clock. So for me, kind of the PhD really was very compatible actually with running. And yes, I had to work hard, and yes, I had to be quite organized and plan and. There was a lot about, I always make sure that I sleep enough because the second I stop sleeping, it's miserable for me and everyone around me. And to make sure that you bring enough food so that, you are recovering properly from training and you're getting your meals in and you're not skipping meals. But yeah, actually the PhD I found really quite manageable, and it lends itself quite well to combining it with athletics. And I guess that's, when I finished my undergraduate, I didn't have the option of running full time, but I did have the kind of option of going to get a job or doing a PhD. And for me, yeah, staying in university was just, yeah, very, very easy to combine with running. And it gave me that opportunity, kind of almost a second chance to get good enough to be a full-time athlete. So yeah, I'm very grateful for my supervisor in particular, I guess, who kind of saw what I wanted to do and said, yeah, okay, maybe it's not the most straightforward way of doing a PhD, but yeah, as long as you put the work in, we can make it work.
And obviously we've had a lot of people on this podcast who are 5K runners and marathon runners, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't had too many shorter, but take us through a typical training week for you, and combining your studies even and your college with it as well, I suppose, as we were just saying there.
Yeah, so at the moment, I guess, well, so I should say that I submitted my thesis at Christmas. So I still haven't done my viva, so I'm still technically a student, but at the moment I'm essentially running full time. So
So
my
you can still get your student discounts. That's
I can still, well, actually,
the
I shouldn't say this too loudly, but I recently, well, maybe about 6 months ago, I lost my student card and they replaced it. And the date that they put on it was, let's just say there'll be at least 2 or 3 Olympics will take place before this student card expires. And someone looked at it and they were like, wow, they really don't have faith in you to finish your PhD, Louise. So I will have a student discount for the foreseeable future.
Probably a bad time to tell Louise. We should have said it at the start. There is a couple of thousand people listening to this podcast, so secret's out now.
But yeah, so I can't actually remember the question now because
Your training week.
oh yeah, the training week. So yeah, so on Mondays I Mondays is an easy enough day now. I kind of run easy in the morning. So for me, an easy run is about 6 miles. And yeah, for pace wise, it's anything between, I guess, maybe 7:10s and 7:30s, although I am inclined to run slightly faster than that and then get in trouble. And then in the evenings, I have a gym session. So my gym session takes about 2 hours, and I usually focus on like the single leg lifts. So that might be something like split squats or step ups. There'll be some cleans in there, and then there'll be a lot of what we call robustness. So it'll kind of be like core borderline rehab exercises. So really not difficult body weight exercises, but I think they're kind of the key exercises to do to make sure that you're not injured, or if you've got any niggles or imbalances, you get them under control. And then when I finish in the gym, I cross train for an hour, which yeah, I'm often quite tired by the time I get to that. So Monday's a big day, but intensity wise, it's not very intense. Tuesday, run easy in the morning, nice and short, definitely not 6 miles. And then in the evening, it's a session, so that could be some sort of threshold like session. Wednesday is another easy
Sorry, Louise, is that on the track? Primarily, would all your sessions be on the track?
No, so at the moment I'm barely running on the track at all.
Okay.
In maybe about 3 weeks' time, that'll change and there'll be a lot more on the track. I prefer running on the road if possible. But Tuesday sessions are sometimes, at least in Belfast, they're on the grass, which is my least favorite surface to run on. But yeah, so grass or road style,
Okay.
longer reps, and yeah, keeping heart rates under control. So yeah, then Wednesday is an easy run and gym. And potentially physio mixed in with that at some point. Thursday is kind of like more of a steady run, so it can either be like a progression run, steady run, something like that. Friday is my rest day, so I probably cross train for about an hour. I have the option to run on my rest day if I want, but I don't tend to take it. I like to have one day of the week that's non-impact, so Friday it is. And Saturday is then session, so session in the morning, and yeah, potentially cross training in the evening, but I tend to do pair the like last cross training of the week with the long run. So yeah, I can do anything between 8 and 13 miles for my long run, and then yeah, so short compared to all the marathon athletes you have
Still quite
on
long
here,
though
but
for
it's
someone,
long to me.
yeah, for someone
Yeah.
running 800 meters, it seems long to me as well.
Exactly, it's excessive. But yeah, so I'll do a long run and then probably cross train for another hour. So the aim is to have at least 3 hours of cross training a week. But yeah, it's much easier to do kind of when you're in base training, and it gets a little trickier when you've got high quality track sessions and you're really trying to hit the quality, and it's virtually impossible to hit once you start traveling and racing and things.
Yeah.
So
And gym work, obviously, especially for like, I think track work is vital. And Brian, look, as he spoke about briefly, he's done about
10 minutes a
two,
week.
10 minutes of bands, and he thinks he's fucking
Yeah, brilliant.
unbelievable. But, you
Yeah.
know, it's massive
Compared
for
to
him.
zero, it's the biggest step up.
Yeah, it's a
I'm actually
massive.
amazed even listening to you there. Like, obviously, like percentage wise, is it 50% of your training, or you know, between the cross training and the gym?
So yeah, so I think, oh, if I do the maths, I think I run for somewhere between 6 and 7 hours a week if you actually add up everything. I cross train for 3 hours and I'm in the gym for 4 hours. So yeah, I'm very glad that I'm a runner as opposed to being a triathlete or a rower. They train for far more hours than we do. But yeah, for me, the gym is really important. And I have a very basic rule, which is that I have to be in the gym twice a week. And the second I'm not in the gym twice a week, that's when I start to get injured. And, you know, it's very easy, particularly as a track athlete in the summer months when you're traveling around and you're racing and you've flights and training is getting moved around, to lose one of those gym sessions. And yeah, for me, I've just learned that that's not an option. And the second I start missing gym sessions, I start picking up kind of tendinopathy issues and niggles, and yeah, everything falls apart. So for me, if anything, I'd say that the most non-negotiable part of my training is those two gym sessions.
Okay. And obviously
Interesting.
you'll be very regimented with your kind of your week, you know, because you have to be so time management with it. Everything has to be like, you know, gym session, run, this, that. Would you plan that out, you know, everything planned a couple of weeks in advance? Or is it kind of like, right, Sunday night, right, this week now I'm going to do this and that? Or do you know everything well in advance?
So actually it's changed recently. So While I was still in Cambridge studying for my PhD, I was being coached and training over in Cambridge. So Phil O'Dell was coaching me over there, and he did an incredible job. He took me from an athlete who had run 204 once, to 159 in qualifying for the Olympics. But his training was, he definitely had a plan, but I wouldn't necessarily know what we were doing. So I'd know, roughly like easy run, track session, whatever, but I wouldn't know the training in advance at all. I tend to kind of message him the night before because I don't particularly like turning up to a session not knowing what the session's going to be. But it was much more kind of almost kind of playing it based on, for me, it's quite important that I run with people. So depending on what other sessions were being done at the track at the same time, we might work out what I'd do. But since I've finished my PhD, I've actually moved up to Belfast and I'm training with Mark Kirk. And Mark is much more kind of, he tells me my training a lot further in advance. It's unfair to Phil to say that Mark's more structured because Phil had a structure. I just didn't know what it was. He didn't pass it on to me. Whereas Mark kind of will often send me training in 2 or 3 week blocks. So yeah, I could tell you roughly what I'll be doing in 2 weeks' time. And obviously that can change because I can do silly things like fall into a cattle grate like I did last week.
Saw
And that
that.
throws yeah, that was not my finest moment. And that throws everything up in the air. But yeah, so it's very on a given night I could turn up and say, look, I haven't slept at all, or I'm exhausted. Funnily enough, if I turn up and I say I feel incredible, he doesn't say, oh, that's brilliant, we'll do more. But yeah, the training can kind of be adapted depending on what happens. But
And
yeah, I do know it a bit in advance now.
is there, would your sessions always be in company, let's say, or are you running a lot of these on your own, or how does it
So I
work?
really, really like to have company. So for me, yeah, that's like the number one thing. Yeah, I very much dislike training by myself. So yeah, so I'm really lucky, I guess, that the group in Belfast, and this was one of the reasons why when I finished my PhD in Cambridge, I really wanted to have that opportunity to run full time. I feel like I've put a lot of years into studying and balancing studying and running, and it worked out quite well for me, but I kind of felt like I owed it to myself to give running full time a go. It would have been nice if I could say to my training partners in Cambridge and to Phil, come on, we'll all head out to South Africa for January. But they all have degrees, and Phil can't leave the 80 other Cambridge athletes just because I want to go to South Africa. So for me, I really wanted to be able to go on camps, but also to have a training group that could do that. And I guess I'm maybe not the best at following instructions in terms of, often someone will tell me what the session is, and then I'll go and I'll run the first rep way too fast and ruin the entire session. So for me, I really need a coach on the ground who can tell me to slow down, or when I do mess up, can kind of adapt the session accordingly. So yeah, so the group in Belfast is great. There's loads of people to train with. There's people, if I'm running at 800 pace, then there's guys whose kind of 1500 pace aligns with that. And if I'm running kind of more threshold work, then there's plenty of girls for me to train with here. So yeah, I try to have company on pretty much everything I do.
You mentioned earlier your one of your favorite races is obviously the race up in Belfast, and I think to break the 2 minute barrier for anybody in the 800 meters is a massive, massive achievement and an incredible feeling. So I think it'd be silly of us not to talk about that for a little bit of how that was and what that and the race as well. It was a great race as well, so how that whole day was for you.
Yeah, so I think it's yeah, Belfast track, and there's a couple of different meets that happen up here, and I think I've actually in my head I come and I run in Belfast once a year, but it's not actually always the same meet that I run. But I have an amazing track record with this track. I think I ran like world junior standards on this track, like I don't know, maybe what, nearly 8, 9 years ago now. To break the national record on this track, this is the track that I ran 204 on when, so I kind of plateaued as a teenager, and I ran 208 for 6 or 7 years straight. I just could not PB. And then I came up to Belfast one day and ran 204 and took 3 seconds off my PB in one race. So for me, kind of, I don't know what it is about this track, but yeah, I have a lot of confidence when I race on the track. And so as a result, kind of, I really enjoy racing on it, and I'm quite relaxed when I come to to Belfast. So I remember the morning that I first broke two. I was staying in a hotel up by the airport, and I just remember kind of dancing around the bedroom, kind of listening to music the morning of the race, really relaxed, which I think I have got a lot more relaxed around racing now, but at the time I would have been quite nervous every time I race. So to be that relaxed was kind of out of character, I would say. And as everyone knows, the sun always shines in Belfast. So the weather was good. It was a great meet, and I really enjoyed it. And for me, it was kind of quite a simple race because Kira is an incredible athlete. She's really, really strong. And yeah, so for me, it was just a case of sitting in and just hanging on for dear life. And yeah, it was. I was shocked when I think we didn't break 60 seconds for the first 400. So I think our splits were kind of 60.2, 59.2. But yeah, I just assumed that the clock had broken when we crossed the line because there was no way that we had actually run that quickly.
I always love to know what the lactate is like, and when you're finishing at 400 like that, you know what I mean? With a fast 400s, like I dare anyone go to run, try to run 400 or 60 seconds for 400, you will feel it in your legs. And how the last 50 meters, I remember when I do one day, my legs were just literally like jelly. You're just going nowhere, the body's upright, or it's the worst feeling. And I say you suffer an awful lot of lactate in your sessions, and near the end of them, I would say.
Yeah, I think I definitely 800 meters, I think, is a very, the training for it is tough and you produce a lot of lactic, and I have ended up hands and knees in the grass far too many times, I would say. But yeah, I think it's I kind of like that as well though, when you're absolutely full of lactic and your head hurts and your collarbone hurts and you really feel quite ill, there's something really satisfying about that feeling. Like it's horrific, don't get me wrong, but knowing that you've pushed yourself that hard and that you've really given it everything, yeah, there is something really satisfying about that.
Yeah. In terms of, you mentioned a name or two there, like Irish women in particular, in athletics seems to be, for the last couple of years, but even again up to last weekend, really pushing forward and flying high. Ciara Magee and yourself, Rashida, we could keep going modestly, all these people. Like, where do you see women in Irish sport or Irish athletics, sorry, in particular at the moment?
Yeah, I think, Irish athletics is doing incredibly well right now, but particularly the women. I think it's interesting because I feel like we're now doing well kind of across a lot of events. So it's not a case that, oh, well, the 1500 meters are running really well, but we don't have any sprinters. Like, our 400 meters team is as strong as it's ever been. And it's, yeah, the 400 meter girls are doing incredible. We're strong over eight, we're strong over 15. At the same time, Sarah Lavin's in the hurdles. I think it's the how many athletes are running really quite well, but across all the different events is what's really impressive. It's not kind of one or two athletes in one or two events and the rest of it's kind of been forgotten. But yeah, I think yeah, it's a really strong time for Irish athletics and particularly Irish female athletics. And yeah, hopefully it
And
drives.
very exciting, obviously, for Paris, to be getting over there with success breeds success as well. When you get on, it drives everybody to push it on that bit further. How are you set for the rest of the year now, as in from, what's the goals for the next patted out for you?
So I think I have roughly about 2 months now before I start racing outdoor season. So I have a lot of work to do. So I think I'm going to Portugal for a few weeks to train. And that'll be really nice. My parents are going to come over for a week, so it'll be good to see them. And then I think there's an Irish group going to Samritz for kind of the last 3 weeks before the track season kicks off. So it'll be really nice. I've never been to Samritz before. I've trained at altitude in Font before, and I've trained in Poch in South Africa, but I haven't been to Samritz. So it'll be really cool to kind of experience that, and also to go out with an Irish group. Will be kind of enjoyable. It's nice to train with other people. So I think there's a big 2 months of training coming up for me. And then yeah, then we start racing. And I don't have the standard for Paris yet. At the moment I'm within the rankings, so fingers crossed it should all be fine, but I really want that standard. The standard's 159.3 and my PB is 159.4. So I feel it's very much attainable. But yeah, if you're running that quickly, you need a lot of things to go right.
Yeah.
And that's races, weather, tracks, everything. So
Just
yeah.
move every race to Belfast, so is what you want, is
Exactly. If we could just move the
it?
entire Olympics to Belfast, then I'm pretty sure I could win. But yeah, so if we can just race in Belfast for May and June, then that would be brilliant. But I'm really looking forward to racing this year. I think like I'm in a good place. I know training's going well. I've had a remarkably injury-free winter, apart from my brief stint in a
Oh.
catheter. But yeah, I've had a remarkably injury-free winter. So, and I think for me, it's interesting to look back on the previous years where I know I've run well, but kind of I've missed 2 or 3 months during the winter with, say, hamstring issues or generally for me it's tendons are the problem. Whereas yeah, this year we've managed to avoid all of that so far, touch wood. So yeah, the plan is kind of for a good track season, hopefully faster than the previous years.
You mentioned earlier, Louise, about getting to the standard and that. And 2 weeks ago, we had a club mate of yours on there with Ryan Creech was on and obviously ran an incredible race in Seville in a marathon distance. And it's a cruel sport in some ways in that, you just can't get back out there that quickly and try to do it again if you don't make the standard or whatever it is. For you, like with your couple of months coming up now, like how quickly can you peak for a performance and, whether it goes well or whether it doesn't go well, how quickly can you get your body right to go back out again and do it again?
So we can actually race quite a lot. So if you look at championships, like when I ran in Munich for the Europeans, that was 3 races in 3 days. So yeah, if needs be, we can race 2 days in succession. It's probably not the best way if you're gonna chase a standard to go and put unnecessary races in. But yeah, it's funny because the deadline for the Olympics is the 30th of June, 30 days in June. So that gives us kind of, I would say, 6, maybe 7 weeks from when the outdoor season kicks off. And I think an awful lot of can change in that time. So you only need one race to run the standard. But also, if you want to qualify by rankings, you can do that using your 5 best races. And in my opinion, 7 races is enough time to run 5 races. So there are some people who could have absolutely no races at all, who by the end of that ranking could have qualified for the Olympics. So I think there's going to be an awful lot of kind of movement and shuffling in those world rankings, the Olympic rankings over those 2 months. But yeah, I think it's nice for us that, when you stand at the start line, any one race isn't kind of your only shot to do it. In the
Yeah.
marathon, if you don't run it now, you're going to try again in 6 months' time, maybe. I'm really glad that I don't have that pressure. But I also think that often athletes can run quite well under pressure, and knowing that, okay, well, try to do it this week, but don't worry, you've got next week if it
Yeah.
doesn't work out. Sometimes you almost run better if you've got a deadline and you're saying, this is the prime example of that actually is when we had in the pandemic, they had that elite micro meet up in Dublin at the indoor track, which meant Athletics Ireland very kindly put on a race in the indoor season to try to qualify for the Europeans. But almost everyone in Ireland had only one race to qualify. There
Yeah.
was no other option. We had no other races. And I think we potentially had the most people qualify ever in that one day, because everyone rocked up and said, this is my only chance and this is what I have to do, and then went and did it. So yeah, I think, yes, I'm very glad that we avoid the pressure of, if it doesn't go well, can't try again for 6 months. But also I think that, having too many races and too many options isn't necessarily a good thing, because yeah, you're kind of not 100% focused on that one day.
Louise, do you pick and choose your races depending on the field, as in the kind of strength of field beforehand, or are you just picking your races, yeah, I like that track, I'll race that track? Because obviously, the stronger the field, the faster tendencies you're going to run.
I think it depends. I think often, actually, I don't know who's in the race I'm going to run until sometimes the day before the race. So I don't have the luxury of kind of picking and choosing who's in my race. But definitely, I think the standard of race that I aim to run it is quite important. So I actually don't believe that the best way for me to run an Olympic standard is to get into, say, a gold race in the world tour, because often races like that have a lot of people, and people are racing. You know, there's a lot of tactics in those races. And I don't think it's a surprise that the fastest races I've run have been in Belfast. I think in Belfast, in general, kind of, it's a good field, but it maybe doesn't have the depth of some of the kind of races on the world tour. But that means that when we rock up, we get very clean races. And as a result, actually run quite a bit faster. You know, I think I've been in better shape turning up to some of the World Tour races than I have been turning up to Belfast. But, you know, when you're running times like that, like if someone steps in front of you and you have to chop your stride, that's the difference between running a standard or not. And I tend to find actually if you can have one or two good athletes, but not the depth in the field, then that's the time when you run really, really fast. You can run fast times on the circuit, but yeah, in general for the 800, they tend to be messier races, and the second a race is messy, you can kiss your standard goodbye.
Yeah, because you're talking for your races, you're talking split seconds, like it's point of a second. It's not like us for when we're talking about a marathon, it's like, oh, a full minute. A full minute for you is a full lap. Do you know? So like
Exactly. Yeah.
it's all split seconds. You said 1 foot wrong, and that's your split second, and all of a sudden you're gone from a 2 second to a 2:05, which is a massive 2.5, which is massive.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can race these races and you can do everything in your power, and then all of a sudden you run the same time, and you can repeat the same race, and it's actually surprising how many times you can stand on the start line and produce almost identical times, if that makes sense. So yeah, we're playing around with seconds or parts of seconds. So yeah, having a nice clean race is kind of ideal when looking for a standard or a fast time.
Louise, we got a question in. It's a question I think we've got in for everybody who's under a certain distance of a race. So the question is, when are you going to move to the marathon?
Okay, so yeah.
It's every single person that we get, honestly, who's under the marathon, who has ever run a marathon. The question is, when are they running a marathon?
So I think the more appropriate question is when I'm going to run a 5K. We have a bit to go before we
I
get
have
to
one for
the
you.
marathon. But yeah, I do think that the marathon is great, and I think it's something that hopefully kind of post kind of being an elite athlete in my career, then I'll try out. But yeah, I feel like I might save the marathon for retirement.
Too young yet, yeah.
Based on how poorly I convert from 800 to 1500, we don't want to go beyond that.
Fair point, fair point. Louise, I think we could keep chatting for the night because it's been fascinating and I really enjoyed it myself and got a lot out of it. You know, you're a brilliant person, and even outside the athlete, you're full of information there. So really, I think this will go down a treat. We're going to watch this space closely over the next couple of months with you and so many other Irish athletes as well, because I think it's going to be a fascinating few months ahead, and hopefully a great few months for everybody really, and as many Irish athletes get to Paris as possible, and your family with you as well to support you, of course.
Thank you so much. Yeah, fingers crossed they bother to show up this time.
Do they have
their passport? That's
That's a good chat. We should
the
check.
question. Louise, we appreciate you coming on, and best of luck for the rest of the year. And look, hopefully we'll be all watching you in Paris.
Thank you.
Okay, so I actually thoroughly enjoyed that chat. I have to say, she was, you know, just bubbly character anyway, and plenty, you know, she was well able to talk and gave plenty, and as she said, she's been known for talking as well. But no, I wasn't sure because look, we haven't had many, you know, 800 meter runners or lower distance runners on, a couple over the time. But you know, it was full of information, full of interesting facts and info, so I picked up a lot of it as well. And again, just a great character, and I just really hope, you know, she gets back to the Olympics again, and we can see the best of her again.
And I really hope, and I would take this from a lot of the Olympians, I really hope she gets there just for her family and friends.
Yeah,
And,
that
you
was an
know,
interesting point as well.
so
Yeah.
it's a point that I obviously noted from talking to Aoife before, but you know, you do forget that this will be the first Olympics in 8 years that people will be able to have
Get
family
to,
and friends at. So I just thought that was actually brilliant as well. So thank you to Louise for coming on, and we really appreciate it, and best of luck for the rest of the year. But Brian, busy show again this week. Shows
Yeah, busy show. And I
keep
think we
getting
should give
bigger.
a reminder to people about an event next Wednesday as well, maybe.
Correct. Yes, so we have an event in the Edge Sports, which is on Wednesday the 13th of March from about 1 p.m. Some of the lads will be there, so Pillar Performance will be there from think they'll be there about two. Precision Fuel and George will be there from one. Brooks Running will be there from one. We'll have Bodylite, which is the running company like that we gave away on the YouTube channel a few weeks ago. They'll be there from between 1 and 3:30. We're going for a group run, roughly around 6:30, 5K, just nice and easy, nice and relaxed. We're going to go run out in the Brooks shoes and, come back and then finish up. So pop away in anytime you want. You can go for a run, that run at any stage. Don't worry, you can come in your club singlets if you want as well. I won't mention anything. So we'll have a bit of fun and we'll have a bit of a laugh. But please, I do encourage people to come down to it because my job depends on it. So make sure you're there.
Yes, and on that point, I think it's as good as any to finish up. Right, to everybody, thanks again for listening in this week. Keep spreading the word of the Runner's Diary podcast, and hopefully, we'll see you on the road or somewhere soon.
Yeah,
cheers.
Good night and goodbye.